to the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to another edition of the Extra Magic Hour. I am Dimitri.
And I'm Kat.
No, and this week our schedules just could not sync up. We do have an interview coming up for you in the next segment. But right now, Kat, let's jump into the news.
Okay, the first news story is something that I'm kind of excited about. It's very teeny tiny, though, but that's okay. Did you hear about the Tangled PhotoPass experience?
I have not.
Okay, so basically there was this Tangled PhotoPass opportunity that was in near the Tangled restrooms where guests pretty much got to hold a Tangled lantern, and then in the background they put like a bunch of different
lanterns. I did hear about this. I didn't know 100% what it was, but I did hear about the lanterns part of this.
Yes, so it was supposed to end on March 15th, but apparently it is now extended indefinitely. Mm. So I'm excited because I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah, you know, I know that, well, yeah, you're going down there, what, next week, right?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay. I know that because of the new, I guess the animated series has not started yet, but they did have the movie that will kick off the animated series on Disney Channel last week. I don't know why. I guess because of my kids being interested in the movie before the animated series came out, we have been in quite the Tangled mode in this house lately.
Well, and Tangled is not my favorite Disney movie. I know a lot of people are like, Tangled's so much better than Frozen and so much better than blah, blah, blah. I liked the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that the lantern scene was the coolest scene of the movie. So how cool would it be to hold your own Tangled lantern?
No, I agree. I also, you know what I would say? I don't think it's better than Frozen overall as a movie. But I definitely think I See the Light is a better song than Let It Go.
I can agree with that to some extent. I think I See the Light is one of the better Disney love songs, but Let It Go is just so empowering.
You know, so I don't think I've talked about this on the show or even with you off the air. It sort of dawned on me running the Princess Half Marathon that most of the best running songs, at least from recent years, are all girl power songs.
Heck yes.
There's nothing quite like coming around the corner at Spaceship Earth to Katy Perry's Roar.
I was trying to think. There was, like, the song that came up. I can't remember what song it is now, but I was, like, talking to my friend about it, and actually my trainer, and I was like, it's just that song that you can just, like, work out to. It's great. So I can't remember what it was. I'm pretty sure it was a Disney song, though.
Right. All right, what else is in the news?
The next thing is that there's a new Disney dress collection that's coming to Disney Springs. It's called The Dress Shop, and it's like, basically, it makes Disney bounding that much easier.
Really?
Yes. Have you ever Disney bounded?
I've not, but I've been in the parks for Dapper Day, which sort of like in the last few years has sort of become an unofficial Disney bounding event.
Yes. So in this shop, I've seen pictures of the dresses. It's perfect for Dapper Day, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
So the dress shop collection isn't meant to be costumes, but it's like it says it's a way for Disney guests to share their passion, adding that the styles have modern fits, which make them wonderful outfits to wear when visiting Disney parks. To me, a lot of it is dresses, and it's like, it seems very vintagey, but I love vintage dresses. I wish I could wear dresses to work so I could wear vintage dresses all the time. But they have like Orange Bird, Minnie Mouse. They have a Tower of Terror dress, which is awesome. Well, they also have like a bunch of Tower of Terror accessories, which are really cool too. It doesn't like give a price range. I'm guessing since it's in Disney Springs, it's probably higher end, but I think it'd be something cool to check out.
This is a much smarter approach for them in terms of Disney bounding and Dapper Day than trying to shut it down.
Yes.
And yeah, I wonder what the next metamorphosis of that event is going to be to keep it in the hands of the fans. I know the fans that do it love Disney and don't mind putting money in the company's pocket for sure, but it is weird that the company is trying to put the monopoly on the spending for this very much fan-started event.
Yeah, because it's not sponsored in Disney at all, right?
No, yeah, it's not even officially recognized. I mean, Disney makes plans around it. It's sort of like the gay days in June. It's
Okay.
they make plans around it, and they certainly understand what is going to be happening in the parks and how they have to staff, but it is not something that you'll ever see on an official Disney calendar.
Right.
All right, what
I
else
know.
do we have?
So next is that so last week on The View and The Chew and today and not today, whatever, Good Morning America and the Nightline, they previewed a lot of like Pandora stuff.
Right.
And so one thing that they previewed was the food for the World of Pandora, which by the way, we talked about seeing Pandora advertisements on ESPN, and I have seen them a lot. Anyway, sorry, that was just a note. So they're gonna have two restaurants. One is called, sorry if I like totally butcher these, Satouli Katine, which is gonna have like health conscious menu with grains, vegetables, and proteins. And it was apparently owned and operated by Alpha Centauri Expeditions. They are like totally trying to immerse everything with this land. And then the next is Pongu Pongu, which is a drink stand. The quote is, "Drink stand run by an expat who fell in love with Pandora." And this is going to offer adult beverages, including a glowing frozen cocktail and indigenous beers, which I kind of wonder what that means. Do you think they'll.
Indigenous beers is weird. You know what? Indigenous beers probably means it's going to be micro brews made especially for the park, I would think.
That'd be kind of cool. I don't drink alcohol, but I still think that theming would be cool.
I think I told you guys this the last time we did the show that the night we were in Animal Kingdom last month, they had the lights and the bioluminescence on. The gates were still closed. But I had everything on, and I wonder if that was filming anything for any of those TV specials.
Maybe.
So interesting news sort of accompanied that this week that James Cameron announced that Avatar 2 now will not come out in 2018. He didn't give a date, but he says there is a delay because initially they were making Avatar 2 and 3 at the same time, and now they want to make Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5 at the same
Oh
time.
my gosh.
So we'll see. I worry about this not for the movie, because I have only seen Avatar one time. It did not make a huge impression on me. I worry about this because I worry that the Pandora, the world of Avatar, is going to become a laughing stock, and the Imagineering gets overlooked because of the property it's attached to is having all these problems.
Yeah. I didn't even see the first Avatar, so I don't even see the need for five.
I mean, you know, the only need is it is still the highest grossing movie of all time. I mean, it made almost $3 billion across the world.
I know, but I feel like that's partly because of James Cameron, because like the movie that he did before that was the highest grossing movie was Titanic, right?
Right.
And so then he came out with a new movie, and that's when everybody was like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was also you got to remember the very beginning of 3D. So
True.
a couple of things there. Number one, it was this new way to experience a movie, but two, it was also during a time when 3D movie tickets cost more than regular movie tickets. So that also sort of skews the popularity and the amount of money it made. It sort of muddies that water a little bit.
That's true.
Go ahead.
I was going to say there's one more thing about this Pongu Pongu, which seems really cool. They're having a new. I guess it's a snack. It's called a lumpia, and it's a crispy pineapple cream cheese spring roll. I don't like pineapple, but I think Eric would love this.
Okay, so this is interesting. Lumpia is a Filipino dish. I know one of my best friends up here in Raleigh is married to a girl that whose family is from the Philippines, and she makes lumpia every time we get together, and it's wonderful. But it's not what you've described.
Really?
Yeah, so I wonder if lumpia is just sort of the catch-all name for the anything that comes in that shell, that wrapping,
Maybe.
because what she makes is very very similar to an egg roll, but with much thinner paper.
Yeah, this is kind of what it looks like.
Yeah,
Because
so.
isn't that what spring rolls are? Is like egg
Right.
rolls, but smaller
Right.
or thinner.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what they are. So yeah, so there you go. It's a dessert lumpia for anybody who is familiar with Filipino cuisine. Wonderful. That's grand news.
Yeah. I think the food will be definitely something to try. I won't Pandora obviously won't be open when I go down, but I have another trip in August, so maybe we'll have to try it then.
Very good. All right, do we have a rumor this week?
We do. So the
Oh, hang on,
rumor.
but before we get to the rumor, I have a question for you that is sort of news related, but also
Okay.
I want your opinion on it.
Okay.
So this week with the NCAA tournament starting, Disney is, I think, was this the fourth year in a row now they're doing March Magic,
Yes.
with attractions, sort of turned into fun team names, and you can go to the Disney Parks blog and vote on the ultimate attraction across both Disney World and Disneyland. And for the third year now, they are releasing T-shirts coinciding with each fake team. I wonder, did you look at them this week, and what did you think about them?
I didn't look at the t-shirts. Those t-shirts aren't really my thing, so
So
sorry.
I dig the I dig the logos, and I dig the fake team names. I think they are very clever and cool, and a way to get someone like me that thinks a lot of the in-park designs have sort of gone downhill or gotten very generic over the last few years to buy some Disney t-shirts. I have a couple from a few years ago. But for some reason, they've decided to start putting numbers on the back of them like they are like t-shirt jersey kind of things.
Really?
And I think it just looks so dumb. Look, I mean, they're all on DisneyStore.com, so go check them out. They introduced, I don't know if it's a new team they introduced this year or just a new design, but they introduced the Sea Base Alphas, which is such a cool design that I thought about getting the shirt, and then I saw the big stupid number on the back, and I decided, no, thank you.
I'm looking. Hold on. Oh, whoa. I see what you mean.
Yeah, it's. I don't understand.
86. I wonder, are those like the years that the
So
ride was.
yes, I think all of them are the years that the ride was open, except the one that is the Gracie Manor Ghouls or Gracie Manor Happy Haunts, whatever it is. That
Yeah.
one has 999 on the back.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love, like, I agree with you. I love the names. That's like what I really pay attention to March Magic, but I had never really looked at the t-shirts because, like I said, those t-shirts aren't like they're just not my thing.
Yeah.
And although it'd be a conversation starter, people would probably up here, especially people who I work with, would probably be like, "What in the world are you wearing?"
Right. So I have the first Caribbean Cannonballs design, which was sort of centered around a skull and not a parrot. And I don't see it anymore. They used to have a Storybook Circus flying elephants, that I have that t-shirt, which is really a really cool shirt.
I do remember that.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I was just curious if you had seen them and what you thought about them. So, what is our rumor
No.
this week?
Our rumor this week is that TMC or Turner Classic Movies is not going to renew their contract with Disney for the Great Movie Ride. And that makes me think that maybe that Great Mickey ride is gonna be around the corner after the contract it expires.
It could be. I mean, the Don, what's the name of the guy? He just died last week.
Yes.
So that definitely throws a wrench into the plans of what Turner Classic Movies might want to do. I also wonder if you're not going to go Great Mickey Ride, does it give you a chance to sort of update this ride? If not to add new movies, at least to add new animatronics in there.
Well, and also, Hollywood Studios used to be my favorite park out of the four of them, but with everything, well, mostly everything closed. What it is now is not why I loved it before, which is fine. Like, I'm all for changing Hollywood Studios. I am excited about Pixar Place and Star Wars Land. But it kind of makes me wonder maybe not even have it the Great Movie Ride anymore. Anything with movies, like, just completely redo it, gut it, do something else.
See, it's why I don't think the Great Mickey Ride rumor is so crazy. I understand that we haven't seen any evidence for sure that it's coming yet, but I don't think it's so crazy because you're right. It's not going to fit. The Great Movie Ride is not going to fit the new theme of the park.
Yes.
Especially with nothing else to support it. What you were saying about, the Hollywood studios not being what you loved before, it really, I was 100% accepting of this is kind of the cost of progress right now, up until this last trip when there's no loop, there's no connection more. There are walls at the back end of the Muppet Courtyard and of what is now Pixar Place. That just, I mean, really make the park feel like everything is gone. Even though I guess
Yes.
putting those walls up does sort of have everything open, pushed towards the front, but it really does hammer home how much is gone in that park.
Yeah, and I mean, I know a lot of people didn't like the great movie, not the great movie ride, Studio Backlot Tour, but that was one of my favorite rides. And so, once that went away, I was like, Hollywood Studios isn't what it used to be. So, I really, and it kind of makes me wonder what the new name for Hollywood Studios is going to be too, since Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land are going there.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we'd heard Hollywood Adventure before, but even that kind of doesn't fit because although I mean, I guess it does because these are based on movie franchises, but somehow it just doesn't feel like it's definitely not the same. I guess the thing that it boils down to is because nothing actually is filmed there anymore, and the fact that if you have a Mac or a newer laptop, all the technology to make a movie is at your fingertips. It's not such
Yeah.
a mystical thing anymore.
Yep.
All right. So we have an interview this week with Brian Krosnick, who writes about the theme park industry for a lot of different sites. A few years ago, he did a piece on Walt Disney's Society of Explorers and Adventurers, which, if you are not familiar with, we'll sort of explain it in the interview. But I'll go ahead and give you a quick overview here. It is this storyline that has been weaved in Disney park attractions and restaurants all over the world. And he and I talked about, is there a grander plan for this? What do we think about it? What do we like about it? What do we dislike about it? Anyway, you'll hear all that in an interview coming up next inside the Extra Magic Hour.
Hey everyone, it's Kat. We all know planning a Walt Disney World vacation takes a lot of time and effort. You gotta choose a resort, book dining, and choose fast passes. Well, I want to take the stress out of your vacation. Book your vacation with me through Magical Travel, and your trip planning will become as easy as pie. I'll take care of all the fine details for you at no additional cost. What's great about it is that you won't have to wake up early to get those hard-to-book reservations like Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table. I'll do my best to make your vacation the most fun and relaxing it can be. Even better, when you book a trip with me, I'll throw in a Disney gift card for you. Email me for a free quote at katarina@magicaltravel.com. That's KATARINA at magicaltravel.com. P.S. I also do all other Disney affiliates, so if you want to venture outside of the world, I will be able to help you there too. So what are you waiting for? Let's make your next trip magical.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Brian Krosnick is on the phone with me. Brian covers the theme park industry for a number of people, but I first stumbled upon him at Theme Park Tourist. And we've been talking the last couple of weeks on the show about the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, this odd, Brian, I'm not sure how you would describe it. It's an odd, I guess, mythology that you really kind of have to be on the lookout for in the Disney parks. Is that fair?
Right. It's like a secret society that's sort of undermining everything that's going on throughout different parks in different countries.
Yeah, and so we'll dive into specifics in a moment, but I'm going to start this conversation I guess kind of at the end, do you have any idea if this is building up to something, whether it is an attraction at some point that ties this all together, or maybe a movie or a series of novels? I mean, is there any indication that Disney is doing this for any reason other than won't it be fun to tie these more adventurous attractions to one another?
Yeah, I mean, man, I sure hope so. It would be pretty great to have all of this coalesce into something. The impression I get is that it will probably just remain this thing that fans are on the lookout for and interested in, like a little nod almost to like, hey, you guys out there, we know you're paying attention.
Right.
You know.
Well, so it started, correct me if I'm wrong, because, and the reason that I brought Brian on to talk about this is he did a pretty good job of detailing the attractions that are tied to the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. This first popped up in Japan, correct?
Yeah, that seems like that's where it originated. And even some people say that Tokyo Disney Sea, it's the S-E-A in that park's name, is intentionally capitalized. And that is, in fact, saying Sea as in Society of Explorers and Adventurers.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about those attractions in Japan. There's only one attraction in Japan that sort of started this whole thing, right?
Right. So it sort of originated with their Tower of Terror, which, you know, is really well known in the parks community because the Japanese don't know the Twilight Zone.
Right.
That's not a pop culture thing for them. So rather than just making it generic and simple, the Oriental Land Company, as expected, went above and beyond and made this elaborate, intricate backstory that creates a new origin for this whole group. Just on a whim.
And the first character introduced is Henry Hightower, right? Who is the supposed owner of the hotel that centers on the Tower of Terror.
Right, exactly.
Harrison Hightower.
And so, his story's like really interesting because what they've done is they have taken the timeline back even further from the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror that we know. So his story, the, you know, epic catastrophic event that occurs in his hotel is on New Year's Eve in 1899. So by the time we as guests come around, we're in the 1920s. So that's when their American waterfront land is set.
Right.
So we're experiencing this decrepit hotel, 20 years before anything would even, quote unquote, happen to the Hollywood Tower Hotel.
And so from there, we get in Hong Kong, we get Mystic Manor, which is also tied to the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. And rather than sort of hit on each individual one, that there is much later, Thunder Mountain was retrofitted with a tie to the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. In the U.S., mostly we've seen eateries and bars pop up with ties to the
right.
Society, which is interesting to me because the fact, especially the two most recent additions to the repertoire, the Skipper Canteen and Abracadabar, very much are these nice tips of the hat to Imagineering, saying we understand there are people that have grown up and they're adults that are so dedicated to this art form. I mean, does that make sense? Like, it's almost like a tip of the hat of we understand that kids are not going to appreciate this as much as their parents do.
Absolutely. So it's like this scavenger hunt, basically,
right,
that you can travel the world and really not even appreciate unless you are of a certain age and, you know, of a certain degree of fan, you might say, that you would go to these bars or restaurants looking for, could this be part of it? Could that be part of it? And I have people who message me on Twitter and say, what about Club 33? Do you think that they're going to retcon Club 33 into it and stuff? So it's really interesting because it gets people talking.
Well, you know what's going to be interesting is if the rumors are true and Club 33 eventually will be in every Disney park, I do wonder if future Club 33s will be tied to it.
Right. Yeah, that would be really incredible. So,
yeah.
And that's the thing. We're going to sit back and wait and we'll watch and we'll see, right?
We'll all
be excited. Yeah.
And that's the thing that has always intrigued me, I guess, since I became more and more aware of the Society of Explorers and Adventures. The thing that has always intrigued me and sort of why I started the interview the way I did is this is this weird thing that connects not only every park, but it also connects the cruise line. It's going to connect Typhoon Lagoon when that park reopens here in the next couple of weeks. But you can't find any merchandise for it. There's not, like, right. even a book that sort of details this whole thing. It is very much like the Imagineers playing around. And when I say with no end goal, that sounds negative. That's not what I mean. It is very much like a let's have fun and discover what you can about it.
Right. Yeah, and that's what all of us, I think, should appreciate so much about it, because if you could walk into the Emporium on Main Street and buy the book that explains how everything's connected and how all these people interact, you would maybe lose some interest, you know?
Yeah. So let me start by asking this. How many of the Disney parks have you been to sort of see these connections with your own eyes?
All except Hong Kong for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, very cool. All right, so which of the attractions really, and restaurants and bars included, which of the sea locations sort of embraces it the most, in your opinion?
I was enamored with Tower of Terror in Japan,
really?
Which, you know, so many of us are, even who haven't been. But you can see, like, in the queue line, in the lobby of this hotel, are all these murals of Harrison Hightower making off with ancient treasures belonging to, you know, anywhere in the world that he's taken from. And you can see references to other rides in the park. It's so incredible. And that intricacy and that interconnectedness is what we're now seeing with the new ride at Typhoon Lagoon, which you also have seen has writing from Atlantis, the Lost Empire.
Right.
So then you start to build out this incredible web of what's connected and, you know, all these continuities and time periods. And if Trader Sam's is part of it, then all of Disneyland's Adventureland is part of it, because right inside is a clipping from the Temple of the Forbidden Eye. So it's just endless, and it's all impressive.
Right.
But Tower of Terror is incredible.
Yeah, and the Hangar Bar, actually, in Disney Springs, it notes that, right, Jock Lindsay is a member. So now that brings in, and I guess, you know, the Temple of the Forbidden Eye as well, that sort of brings in the Indiana Jones universe. And as much as, I guess, there is sort of this, I don't know, for me, I'll say, there is sort of this disappointment that there's not going to be a bigger payoff. The more they tie stuff in, the more it's like, well, why do you need a payoff? You had the payoff with Raiders of the Lost Ark so long ago.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, like, it reminds me of when we were all hearing that there was going to be a big Lost e-ticket when,
right,
Lost was so huge on ABC. Like, you know, and you and I can dream and think about what that would look like to have this incredible e-ticket, and it would be awesome. But, you know, like you said, there's just something about the, like, it's so understated, and that's part of the magic.
For sure. So tell me a little bit about how you first got involved with writing about the themed entertainment industry. We'll bring this back to sea in a second, but tell me how you got involved with writing about the parks and how it took you kind of all over the world.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was lucky to have found the opportunity that I did at Theme Park Tourist. Just sort of reached out, and it was a young site at the time. This was 6 years ago. So mm-hmm. I did a lot of covering seasonal parks. I'm from Ohio. So we were reviewing a lot of attractions at Kings Island and Cedar Point as new things were emerging there. Gradually, as that site grew more toward the larger destination parks, that fit right in with what my core interest really was anyway. So I've been lucky, and the thing I work on there so much is our series Lost Legends, where it's like deep dives on forgotten attractions that, you know, the fans really, really care about. And to be able to tell those stories and hear the comments is what has been so great about that. But that's how I got started and sort of evolved into what I do now. And it's so fun. It's great.
So covering the industry the way you do, and when you go to like, you're so far removed at this point from your first trip to any Disney park, probably any Universal park as well.
Sure.
When they add something like this, or when you become aware of something like the Society for Explorers and Adventurers, is there certainly there's a new level of appreciation, but is there a new level of excitement?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the reason that so many of us want to get to DisneySea, because you hear about Journey to the Center of the Earth or their 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and it is not able to be seen on video in the way that it is in person.
Yeah.
And so, like, those little teases and hints, or knowing something's out there, it's that call to adventure, if you will, where, you know, it you have to find out more, you have to see it for yourself. And that's the reason that even in the YouTube age, DisneySea and Disneyland Paris are meccas. You know, you have to get there in your lifetime. You have to see it.
You know, it's interesting you bring up Journey to the Center of the Earth and the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea ride, because it's only just dawning on me as you're talking about the desire to see those attractions, that this Society of Explorers and Adventurers, whether on purpose or not, it is a nice little tip of the cap from the Imagineers to Walt, who obviously has been gone for quite some time, but was just enamored with H.G. Wells and those kinds of stories.
Right, and I think and hope that the Society of Explorers and Adventurers is the segue into bringing more of that to the American parks, because we know and we've heard of the, you know, the things planned for Magic Kingdom, or, you know, Discovery Bay, which I wrote a 7,000 word, you know, what could have been on it. And we love those concepts. And, you know, 30 years after Discovery Bay was canceled, we're all still going, this is still a great concept. This hasn't aged a day. They could build it right now and it would be, you know, incredible. And I think that if C is the way for them to bring it over here, then that's all the better.
You know, the thing that would be interesting to see as a payoff to C, and you know, I mean, I hate to use it in that way, because you would hope it's the kind of thing that goes on for generations and generations of new attractions being tied in, but the 50th anniversary is coming up. If the 50th anniversary of Disney World only involved them bringing attractions over from other parks the way they did at the Millennium, to see, as part of the 50th anniversary, to see a grand tie-in all in one place of how the Society of Explorers and Adventurers all ties together, that would be the kind of thing that I think could get even the most jaded of park of annual pass holders down there multiple times.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it seems we all know that Disney, at least here, is reluctant to approve anything not tied to an intellectual property.
Right.
Which makes a good deal of sense in many ways. But I think that this is so interesting because C has the potential to be an intellectual property.
Sure.
Just like Figment and Dreamfinder, you know, I mean, it's an original character, but it's one that could spawn a story that people can follow. And, you know, maybe you lose a little mystique that way, but I think it's a really interesting idea.
Well, it would certainly make a ton of sense to at least do what they've done with Figment and Dreamfinder and use the fact now that the company owns Marvel to introduce a C comic series, right?
Oh, absolutely. Man, we'd all be out there buying that one. So.
Absolutely. I mean, at the very least, I feel like that would make a ton of sense. So you can read Brian's stuff on Theme Park Tourists, and he's at BKroz, K-R-O-Z, on Twitter. You can follow him there as well. Last thing I'll ask you about the Society of Explorers and Adventurers before I let you go. Do you think there is a story element to it that explains why so much of what we're seeing, at least in the U.S., is food and drink based?
I don't know if there's a story element to that. I think that's just the most low risk way of appeasing the fans, in a sense.
Sure.
But I would hope so. And I love what they've done with, you know, the Skipper Canteen and like all those different elements that bring really exotic food into it.
Right.
Even if they have to backpedal a little bit, but, you know, to make the food, pardon the pun, but a little more adventurous and exploratory would not at all be a bad way to, you know, bring C to life.
No, I agree. And to your point, you know, we talked about this on the show about this time last year when it looked like Disney food-wise was, I don't want to say in a rut, but it seemed like everything new that was popping up in Florida was Asian and North African influence, right? Because around the same time of right. Skipper Canteen, you also had Tiffin's open. But I thought they did a really cool thing when they opened Tiffin's, and this isn't necessarily about C, but it does have a weird tie into it, is that Tiffin's is all about the Imagineers. That is the real world. This whole fantastic world is what you'll find in the Magic Kingdom.
Right. That's a good way to, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Also, was this retrofitted, or was this, as best you can tell, was all along the old Adventurers Club in Pleasure Island? Was it a part of the Sea Story, or is that something that has only since been retconned in?
That'd be a great question, and I think that the more we look at the artifacts that were there hanging on the wall and mm-hmm. things like that, it would be interesting to see if Imagineers had put letters on the wall of the Adventurers Club with concepts they had, and for all we know, only some of those, you know, came to pass.
Sure.
So there could be characters hanging in there that Imagineer said, oh, we're going to do a Soarin-type ride over, you know, the Seven Wonders of the Ancient World with this person. And then it just hasn't happened and may never happen. But I don't know. That's a great question.
All right. Well, then we will leave this interview with both of us left pondering. Brian, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Butt Squad Radio, the perilous pop culture powerhouse of the White Dragon Podcast Network, is back every other Sunday with the latest and greatest nerd news, fun facts, and overbearing opinions that you never even knew you wanted to hear. Check it out on iTunes, Stitcher, and WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com.
Dave, what are you doing?
I'm doing the voiceover for our commercial.
Why the hell are you using that stupid announcer horse voice that you use?
I thought it would be funny.
No, it's awful, and we only had a minute for this. You used up like almost the entire thing.
But a lot of people like my announcer voice.
What a waste.
Bat Squad Radio, folks, the pop culture power hour, dropping every other Sunday on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hey, folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
The Extra Magic Hour's just about over. Aww. But first, it's time for the glorious 3-hour finale.
All right, so before we wrap up today, Kat, I did kind of want to get your reaction. I think the whole storyline behind the Society of Explorers and Adventurers is a fun one, and I enjoy talking about it with people that know what it is, and I enjoy when people discover it for the first time. So what did you think about the interview?
This was the first time I had really heard of it. I mean, you had kind of mentioned it a couple episodes ago, but I was just kind of confused if it was all Disney or all theme parks, and so this kind of, like, helped, I guess, let me know that it was all Disney. And I didn't realize that it was Walt Disney's idea for it.
Well, okay, so when I said that, I didn't really mean it was Walt Disney's idea. Is that what you're talking about when I said that, or is it something that Brian said that you were reacted to?
Maybe it was when you said it.
Okay, so I didn't really mean it was Walt Disney's idea. It's just the fact that here is this grand story invented completely by the Imagineers, to me, felt like a real tip of the hat to Walt Disney in a time when it's so hard, even Brian talked about this, it's so hard to get an attraction built that's not tied into a movie somehow. That
right.
To create this whole new world just for the theme parks really does feel like a what would Walt do kind of moment.
Yeah.
So I would say when you go down there in the next couple weeks, even if you don't eat in the Skipper Cantina, go walk through because that is the place you're going to get to spend the most time with these artifacts.
Right. And so is there like is there something that will like be like, this is the Society of Explorers and Adventurers? Or is it like really subtle?
No. You'll see they have a seal. And look it up before you go so you know what you're looking
okay.
for. But they have a seal that says SEA, Society of Explorers and Adventurers.
Okay.
And in some places, like Skipper Canteen, it's huge. Like, you cannot miss it. But then other places, it's, you know, it just appears on a stamp, on a letter in Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. It appears subtly in the new Abracadabar. It's really cool to go and discover these things. And to me, it's even cooler that the storyline that is tied together for the most part has been written by the fans. So go look it up online. It's a lot of fun to get into.
I definitely will.
Yeah. And in terms of what the next step is, I mean, all we can do is speculate. I would love to see a movie or graphic novel series that can really cater to the Disney Parks nerds out there for sure. All right, Kat, anything else you want to add?
That just made me think with the new Jungle Cruise movie, maybe they'll like include that in the movie.
I mean, it would make a lot of sense because they have sort of made the Skipper Canteen. It does sort of seem like they've built it up as the base of Sea in the American Disney parks.
Yes.
But I will also wonder, like, where are we on that Jungle Cruise movie?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, it feels
I
like...
I know the rocks in it.
Yeah, it feels like it keeps getting either A, pushed back, or B, just goes completely dead. We hear nothing about it.
Right.
All right, well, all right, so we will catch you next week. We have not asked you to do this in a while. If you have questions, please email them to us, emhpodcast@gmail.com. And B, if you would be so kind, if you listen to us on iTunes, please go rate and review the show. I don't think we've asked you to do that in so long that we may not have any new ones or have had any new ones for a while. So please go do that. If you're on iTunes, you don't have to give us a 5-star review. You can give us a 1-star review. It's fine. We'll just delete it. All right. So we'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye.